Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call of the Daimyo Meridian, where we're transforming worry into clarity. So I invite you to find a nice cozy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for our time together. And as you settle in, beginning here, perhaps by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that is pleasant, to the very least, neutral, taking a moment to savor it, to drink it in. And on that note of receiving nourishments, I invite you to take a moment to consciously either scan your outward or your inward environments. And as you scan this environment, outward or inward, noticing anything in particular that catches your attention that's pleasant, to the very least, neutral. And when your gaze lands on that thing, noticing what it is you like the most about it. What is it that feels really good about this thing? It might be the color, the shape, the size, the way the light and the shadow play with it. And as you notice that and drink it in, savoring it for perhaps the nourishment that it very well may be, noticing what seems to happen inside of you as you do so. And if any part of that is pleasant and neutral, taking time to drink that in and savor that too. Drinking in all that feels good, because it gets to feel good now. Thank you for being you, bringing all of you to the table in all the ways that you do. Thank you for showing up. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and your villages, and all that goes into showing up in all the ways that you do. The deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, that have nourished us all, that have nourished those that have come before us, and those that will nourish us afterwards. Thank you. Thank you to this earth and all the creatures that swim, fly, walk, crawl. Thank you to this world, this universe, and all that it shows us about ourselves. Oh, Shanti, 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 peace, peace. As we settle in for today's session, starting off with a little bit of work on the spleen and the stomach, as these are our centers for transforming worry. I'm not surprised they're coming up first. And in the spleen and in the stomach alike, we're working on supporting them in, well, having lymphatic circulation move through them, as well as supporting the spleen and its role in being one of the master controllers of lymphatic flow from a body talk perspective. So as we optimize the stomach and the spleen and their lymph flow through the organs, we're going to do the same for the meridians. And as we get the spleen qi and the stomach qi moving in ways that support that even further, we're going to run hydration, helping cells to bring in water, joy, and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. And as this drinks in water, we're also going to actually work with hydration of the spine and the skull, specifically going into the cerebrospinal fluid. And as we hydrate the CSF, I think of the CSF in many ways as being a little like lymph, and it does even more than just lymph. It tends to also bring in nourishment and cushions, supports, protects. So it does a lot of roles. So it's like lymph plus in a way. And as we hydrate through the CSF, it's particularly highlighting its role in protection and nourishment and how evenly balanced it can be. And in a way, we're going to link all the CSF fluid wisdom into the lymphatic fluid wisdom, supporting the lymph and being able to get better, if you will, or learning more to enrich it. In terms of allowing for the lymph to also protect and nourish as it cleans out waste products. And as we basically provide the lymphatic system more intelligence, more information, using the cerebrospinal fluid as a resource for it, we're bringing in the planetary energies of Mercury, Venus, and Mars to support that. Mercury for communication, Venus for harmony, Mars for having enough drive to make changes. And as we bring in these three planets, we're also bringing them into finding balance and support for how it is you're beginning to change things in your world. Often a time of focus as we start off our new years in these ways. And as we support bringing in intelligent focus, intelligent change in this way, linking in the small intestine for its awareness, for its discernment. And then we're taking all of that, and we're linking it through to the Daimyo meridian. We're going to actually work with one of the points that influences it the most, the bladder one point, which helps us to see the present moment with clarity and hangs it in the inner corner of the eye. And here we're actually working with a permission statement. I'm just finding the exact words, but it's something akin to being comfy cozy with landing here on this planet, on this earth, taking its vibration, its resonance that heals us, the Schumann resonance. And the words here are, it's safe to receive nourishment from this earth. It's safe to receive nourishment here. And as you take in nourishment from the earth, it's akin to receiving nourishment from mom, from mother energy. And here we actually need to go into the family lines on mom's side as well as dad's side, looking at all the maternal, however, energies, whether they're on mom or dad's side, looking at all the maternal energies. And as we look at maternal energies here in these ways, looking at the idea, the belief system that my worry will protect me, my worry will keep me safe, my worry will be the thing that ensures my survival. And all of that idea of thinking is potentially true at one point in time, although that messaging is no longer quite as relevant. This ancestral wisdom may need to be applied in a different way at a different time, as there's different challenges with modern life than there may have been generations, many generations ago. And as we work with this, we actually need to unwind a fair amount of adhesed tissue through the amygdala complex. And as we do so, it's releasing patterns of having to be hypervigilant by means of using worry, to the point where there's a habit pattern here of becoming worried if there wasn't enough focus on being worried. The irony. As we do this, we're actually also simultaneously clearing out some very old, very core level of sadness and almost like depression for having this pattern of worry and being worried if there wasn't worry, being so indentured or really stored in a very core material kind of a way as well. So for that all, for the sadness and for the worry, the depression about the worry, we're working with the Sidri. It's actually going to continue for a little longer than most of our Sidris. It's going for 12 days, so it's going to be working through even next week's session. And as we bring in the Sidri, what a way to start off the new year. We're going to bring in C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous or immune system, and really most of us to heal. And then as we work with this, also circulating the balance of yin and yang, feminine and masculine, and running one more round of hydration, helping again these cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. Then the D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness, thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as that continues for the next 12 days, it'll take us to, well, from the time that you're listening, if you're live on the call today or listening to the recording on the day of the call, it'll be mid-January, January 16th or so. And as we work with that, we're going to simultaneously run the circulation of all the healing resources to a couple of the structures nearby the amygdala complex, which is the jaw and the ear. We're doing it for both sides. And it's almost formed like a little bit of a protective block in and around the amygdala complex. It's forming as we treat basically the amygdala complex's issues, which formed, it looks like, very early on in life, in the early years, first 3, 4 years of life. There became an extra level of coating of protection over top of it all, through the ears, through the jaw, and basically, there's just a readiness to attack, to fight, to defend, to protect in many different ways. And it's become almost a frozen thing. So, this need to fight and protect in this way has become so literally indentured, locked into place, that it's become almost like a frozen ice cube of sorts. So as we work with this, we're going to also bring circulation of all those same healing resources through to this area, in particular focusing on bringing in the frequencies of the chakra, major and minor, in particular the heart chakra. And as we work with all of its energies, bringing in harmony and the will of harmony through to the jaw, the ear. We're also doing an emotional release here. And there's two actually. They're intertwined, and it's the emotions of overwhelm and shame. And there's also a connection between these two, being overwhelmed by shame and being shamed by having overwhelmed presence. So it's actually going both directions, feeling overwhelmed by shame, and then feeling the shame of not being able to work through or deal with all of the overwhelm. Like, I can't handle my stuff. I can't get my stuff together. Can't get my poop in a group type of energy. And as all of that is here, releasing the energy of being shame-faced in a way from the jaw joints and from the ear, as well as releasing having to have those thought patterns be something that you're thinking about on a subtle level and hearing on a subtle level, as well as potentially even, attuning to those messages from the external world as well. And as we release that sort of stickiness of this pattern through these arenas, in a way we can imagine that it's no longer locked into spot, but instead it slowly gets to drift outward and go global in a way that allows for it to disperse and release, since it no longer needs to be so hung on to and concentrated by the jaws. We're going to support that by linking TMJ to SI reciprocals, supporting our capacity to open up to take in new life from a very grounded, embodied, foundational sort of forming kind of a way. And as the system opens up to new life without having to do it through the overwhelm of shame, through the shame of overwhelm, or in any other way, I see the bladder one point, that Sidri, begin to really spark and come alive in a way that allows for that Daimyo meridian to, almost like it was folded in on itself, begins to untwist and untorque. In particular, on the right side, similar to, reminds me of the work that we did with the diaphragm. I believe that was last week, and that same sort of twist or torque. And as that twist or torque basically unfolds and opens up through the Daimyo meridian, in particular on that right side, it's as if there's much more even-keeled flow now between upper and lower body on the masculine through the yang, which allows us to take a different kind of action, a different kind of step forward, a different kind of capacity to move forward in our life without having to do it through overwhelm or shame or any of the culminations of those two emotions. And as this begins to settle, I see simultaneously handing back any of those messages of being shamed for not being able to handle life and all that comes your way. All those times you may have been shamed by, in particular, the maternal on mom or dad's side, whether it was moms or grandmothers or aunties or great grandmothers or their mothers before them, handing these voices of shame back. And as those women receive those voices of shame, they get to hand it back to where they received it from. And so on and so forth, the messages keep rolling backward and backward and backward until they go all the way through. Perhaps they reach source itself. And all of this links into house 12, house of endings, releasing, surrendering, house of allowing. House of the liver and the liver meridian that helps to detox old karmic patterns. And as it does so, releasing this idea that you don't have a leg to stand on to move forward from. Releasing that old belief system that you don't have a leg to stand on and you've got to fight really hard to prove your worth. And as this releases through house 12, running one more Sidri on it. And this one lasts for 6 days, the next 6 days. And then we're linking it into the eighth house energy, which works with death, rebirth, regeneration, calling alive again. And as we work with the death, rebirth, regeneration, becoming anew, born anew in a way, bringing in the natural planetary energy of the eighth house, that of Mars, as well as Pluto. Working in particular with Mars's capacity to support self-expression, and Pluto's capacity to connect to the collective power that is. What if your self-expression got to actually be supported by the natural connection to power that's present in any sort of a group, collective, whether that's your family, your ancestors, whether that's the power of community, whether that's the power of any other group that you're involved with. And as we draw on the interwebbing of our interrelationships and the support that they can bring into our lives in this way, bringing into effect the potentially the oldest ancestral wisdom there may be, that we're better together, that we're stronger in numbers. We work very similar to herd or pack animals, and that statement alone can involve a several hour-long discussion. But I'm going to gloss over that and keep going. And as we understand that those dynamics of being in a group are relatively important and supportive to our well-being in all the ways that have happened in our ancestral informative years, that we too get to draw on that same wisdom. And although it may look different now with all of our different divisions that we have in our communities and our housing, etc., imagine that we can energetically draw on that same ancestral wisdom of connection and link it into the natural world as we link it into the natural elements of our earth, our sky, our trees, our land, all of its creatures, and all of those connections form their own interwebbing of sorts that we get to naturally fall into alignment with and be supported by. And then we're linking all of those interconnections and that easeful alignment that comes when we are part of a greater whole, meaning we don't have to do it all on our own. We're not just this lonely little island having to, weather life storms. We get to receive that in a way, almost like protection or adornment of sorts, of this being held through the embrace of the collective. And as we work with that, we're linking all of that support through to two things. One, the Daimyo meridian, and two, the spine. And we're particularly looking at where the two intersect in the back body around L2, L3 vertebrae. There's three acupuncture points here, bladder 23 on either side, governing vessel 4, and these three points form the Ming Men, form the pilot light of our body. They form how it is we actually take in external environmental energy. Think of that support and all that I've spoken to about that interwebbing of the collective, of the community, of society, and all the groupings that you find support and enrichment from. And being able to draw that in a way that even if it doesn't seem to exist in your current environment, it actually begins to set the stage energetically to call it in even more deeply and richly. If it's already playing out for you. And if it's an invitation in, that's an initiation of sorts, welcoming it by means of breathing. And if this is a deeper connection or an enrichment, then also welcoming that too by means of breathing. As we allow this back body to be fluid and breathe, allowing for the spine to be supple as we connect all of that support, all of that connection of those interrelationships that best serve you through to your entire spine. And the spine is such a good metaphor for this, as the spine, and while no one part really operates well on its own, and when one changes, the entire alignment of the whole spine changes. So as we bring in healthy connections through to the spine, bringing in suppleness, fluidity, and again, that cerebrospinal fluid is front row center for its role in protection as well as nourishment. And for this, we're running a cellular repair to optimize the spine's capacity to hold all of the healing energy that comes in through your healthy connections, as well as inviting in any of those areas that may have been. Let me say this a little differently. Those areas of the spinal column and the vertebrae that may have been inviting in less than healthy connections, just because they didn't know any better. They were just used to being an old patterns, they actually get to be received by that same cell repair as we restore these cells back to fullest potential of health, to in a way seal up those old wounds, those old messages, those old challenges. And as those old fragmented energies get to be sealed up, contained, held whole again, the spine becomes an antenna of consciousness, connecting you even more deeply to that sense of self, that sense of the truth of who and what you really are. Perhaps there's no difference between the two. And as we support that, bringing in the permission statement of I am whole, along with I am healed. And in Latin, they mean the same thing, so no surprise that they're here, whole and healed. And as they bring in the energy of healing through wholeness through to the spine, standing tall in the truth of who and what you are, that area, the Ming Men, the pilot light of the body, begins to soften, to open up, to drop away a layer of guarding, a layer of almost, it's looking like little sentry creatures standing guard at either side of the Ming Men doorway. They begin to just relax their need to be overly on guard and their need to protect and be so dutiful, shall we say. And as these energies begin to soften, running the permissions here, it's safe to be received by my world. It's safe to be held softly by my world. And it's safe to be supported by my world. What if there's truly a soft place to land now? What if there's truly a soft space to land now? As we offer the low back that energy, it begins to again soften even further. And if you happen to be sitting or laying and you have something behind your back, I invite you just to see if that by means of breathing can soften into its support. If it calls to you, you're welcome even to take a blanket or a pillow behind your back so it can really receive what it's like to feel soft protection in this way. As I lean back into my pillow and my chair support behind me, I'll do the same. And as that low back begins to receive all this new information around what it really truly means to be soft and protected, to be potentially vulnerable and open, to be courageous enough to open to go with the fluidity, the flow of life itself. There's a dropping down of the sit bones and the energy of the waist having to be so tightly held as a division begins to soften even further. Invitation to breathe right into your waist, softly, gently. And see if that waist might even want to expand just a little bit more. Maybe there's more room now. Maybe there's more space. Maybe there's more room and space for you, for your breath, for you to breathe in life. And as the system drinks that in, linking it again into house 12, house of releasing, surrendering, allowing, peeling back the layers of who it is we are not. I see the entire liver meridian, in particular on the right side where it guards genitals and chest, also soften through this right side. And it's almost as if the entire masculine body now begins to drop its guard, not needing to be so diligently on guard. And as it softens, I actually see, oh, this is really interesting, new energy coming in through all the maternal energies on mom and dad side alike, as well as new energy coming into the yin, the feminine. I'm seeing that come in through all seven chakras simultaneously. This is no small thing. And as the energy begins to softly, gently, in a very easeful manner, pour in through to the yin, nurturing all things yin and feminine, allowing for the feminine to remember what it's like to feel protected without the overarching fear of being guarded, or like we're having to diligently be protected by like military at war, there gets to be another type of protection, the containment energy that comes in without it having to be so driven by worry, without it having to be so driven by anxiety. The need for excessive caution drops down even further, which in turn allows for all things heart to become a little bit more centered, a little bit more focused, a little bit more front and center, allowed, welcome, supported to be here. In a way, allowing the old energy of needing to survive to soften, and allowing for the energy to thrive, to open up through this heart, from a place of harmony to come forward. And as it does so, again, inviting in another deeper layer of healthy connection, and linking that yet again into all things maternal, all things feminine lines, on mom's side as well as dad's side, through the mothers, through the grandmothers, the aunties, through all the wombs that have walked before you. And linking this very now directly into the womb space, well, close by anyways, into the ovaries, for its role in will, in feminine will in particular. This has a sort of a slow, enduring quality of strength without having to hang on or cling, but just this capacity to be able to weather storms, the capacity to do it from a place that's nourished, from a place of wisdom that knows that this too shall pass, knowing that it doesn't need to take excessive energy to fight one's way through it, but to allow for, again, fluidly to go with the ups and downs of life with even more ease. What have we got to be even easier now? Linking that into occiput and sacrum, back of skull, back of pelvis, allowing the bladder meridian that runs through these arenas quite richly to be softened again and held by almost like this quality of flowing through the river of life. If you've ever been in a float tank or salt water that supports your entire body, if you can imagine just leaning back and allowing the waters to hold you, to richly support your buoyancy. And in a way, tapping into that capacity for buoyancy, even though there's no actual water or salt water present, the system literally gets to be buoyed up by that same energetic flow that naturally flows through our chi, through our bloodstream, through our being of our chakras, through our sense of self, through our shen, through all of us and all the layers of energy bodies that we carry. And as the base of the skull and the top of the pelvis begin to soften into that, it's like the last little holdout begin to drop away. And it's carrying with it the consciousness of moving from judgment to acceptance, from having to almost be on guard, to evaluate, to judge, to know if something's safe, to being able to just softly accept and welcome into it, welcome yourselves into whatever situation is at hand. And as we support the system in opening up to receive in this way, it allows for the heart to actually come forward even more richly as we take care of the occiput, back of skull, and the sacrum, back of pelvis. As they drop towards the back body, the heart gets to move more towards the front body and opening up into its richest, fullest expression. And as this goes, as this opens up, there's also an opening up through the liver and the gallbladder, and then into the Daimyo meridian. If we can imagine the Daimyo meridian is getting to be buoyant, getting to float, getting to rest in its own way now, without having to be so on guard. Running lymphatic circulation. Through the pancreas reflex points, helping to take in, I should back up, that's about a hand's width down on the left-hand side of the rib cage from your armpit, helping us to integrate all things feminine and masculine, as well as taking the sweetness of life, to take in the embrace of the universe. I just have a restless dog that's just making some noise. I'm just gonna pop him out. I'll be right back. And as we take in that sweetness of life, that embrace of the universe, imagine that we can breathe that in. As we breathe that sweetness of the universe in, simultaneously releasing adhesions through the sacrum where it meets the coccyx, the tailbone. And as that releases, it's like any little bits of putting on the brakes of saying or pushing away or saying, I don't want to receive that. Drops away, and in comes the consciousness of richness that might be through actual money, or it might be through the richness of awareness, the richness of abundance, or any other place that you're calling in richness in your life. What are you enriching in yourself? What are you called to, in a way, cultivate within yourself, or cultivate the awareness of what's potentially already there? And then we're linking that into the energy of sixth house, the energy of, well, discernment, intellect, awareness, but also the practicality, the house of taking practical action to support our being, our body, our mind, our soul. And here there's this fear that if I'm taking practical steps forward, and doing all the things that I want to do to support myself, then I won't actually be able to be in connection to others. I have to be alone to do that. And there's this idea of if I honor myself, I will not be able to be in connection with family, with loved ones. There's this interesting little decision point that seems to be here. And what if it's actually possible to have both? What if it's actually possible to be able to have that balance that supports self as well as healthy connections to others? And as we work with this, we're actually going to link it into all things heart and heart chakra, all things Shen, all things related to the center of I am, period. And here we're just running the permissions of I am connected. That's linking again into house eights through this time, the consciousness of regeneration. As house eight and regeneration does its thing, linking it into, without it being a huge surprise as the kidneys hang out here, the kidney meridian. And drawing on the ancestral wisdom of what it meant to regenerate by means of connecting in particular to the planetary energies of the sun and the moon and the planet Earth. And as we work with that energy of sun, moon, and earth coming into harmony, linking it into the heart and connecting kidney and heart. Beautiful. And as kidney and heart align, I see the daimo like almost drop into a spontaneous shavasana or corpse pose or pose of relaxation or pose of surrender, one might say in yoga. And as there's deep, deep surrender here, it's linking all the way back into womb space, into the first 3 months, the first trimester. And then working with patterns, I'm trying to figure out of how to actually relax in the face of all those different changes that were happening. And one could argue this was the time in which life was most rapidly changing. We went from, a bundle of cells and consciousness into this human, which still had some growing to do, but nonetheless, all the parts somehow just formed. And as we work with this idea of being able to do such deep, rich transformation, if there was ever a time of transformation, it's got to be that first trimester, I'm thinking. There is also this energy of being able to do it through the lens of being able to relax and soften and ease and receive and all those words that I've been mentioning throughout this, well, not just this, but many of the other sessions. And as we look to this time in life in which we actually knew how to navigate a whole lot of growth, a whole lot of change, a whole lot of transformation by means of relaxing into it, there is also a bit of a challenge that was faced. There's an interruption in being able to allow for the cells that eventually form the ventral vagal portion of the parasympathetic nervous system, our place where we enter that calm, curious, interested in social connection, place where we can learn, grow, heal. This part of our nervous system got a little bit aggravated and irritated around, it looks like, that first trimester, but fairly early on in the first few weeks, in the first 3 weeks. And it became almost like a cyclical pattern that every 2 or 3 weeks there would be this like uptick in stress. And that became almost like a survival pattern of as long as I have an uptick of stress every 2 to 3 weeks or so, and some other calamity or challenge or brouhaha or drama happens in life, then I can stay abreast of any potential dangers in life. I can stay abreast of any potential challenges in life that'll potentially, well, kill me, might potentially erase my existence, might potentially get in the way of me surviving really well. It's a lot of words, but this idea of the need to survive by means of hanging on to stress is essentially what we're working with, and the repetitive need for that to cycle every 2 to 3 weeks or so. Interestingly enough, is linking into again the cycle of the moon, which deals with our shorter cycles, more so 28 and a quarter day cycles, but it's working as a totem to this idea of short cycling energy here as well, is the sun and the earth again. So we're seeing the same trinity of planets arise to support this patterning. And we're looking in particular as well as where the sun, the moon, and the earth were in relationship to one another when this happened for you when you were in the womb space itself. And that's likely got some information around why it keeps happening every 2 to 3 weeks, and everyone will be a little bit different as we work with it. It's also simultaneously working into now that cycle, that menstrual cycle of every 28 and a quarter days ish. So for some women, that's closer to 21 days, 35 days, wherever we may find ourselves. And similar enough, the pattern of this having to be a stressful thing that happens every month. Yeah, and even if it's not happening for you anymore, that it used to happen in the ways that it did, creating particular challenges or changes that may or may not be so welcome. And as we work with the challenges that you may have faced around the menstrual cycle pattern, or that you may currently be facing around the menstrual cycle pattern, we're actually releasing very strong emotions of actually like hatred towards having to deal with this cycle of having to deal with all that comes with it, having to deal with the upheaval. And as we do so, releasing hatred for being in a female form. And that's coming through not just this body, but again through the maternal lineages going back many generations, all the way through. No small thing. And as we work with this, linking it into the kidney meridian lines, all the way through you, along with the bladder meridian, which is that partner to the kidney in many ways, giving rise to the masculine yang components. And then I see in particular that bladder meridian again on that right side, allowing it to work with again the more masculine, the more yang, the capacity to step forward without feeling held back as the bladder meridian works in particular through the back body, releasing the pain of as well the times in which you felt like you had to hold back and you couldn't share your suffering, your confusion, your pain, your potentially even fear or terror around what this whole thing meant to have a menstrual cycle, to be in a female form, to be a woman, to be a girl, to be a crone, wherever we are in that spectrum, looking at all the layers and all the transitions and all the transformations that have happened from maiden through mother through crone. And all the other phases that are involved within that. Again, linking into House 12 for surrendering, allowing, peeling back the layers of who it is we are not. And then connecting into, again, that quality of surrender that it carries so deeply. Bridging it through to the first house, again working by means of surrender. Running the permissions here that it's safe for women to change. It's safe for women to change. It's safe for the women in your lives to change. It's safe for you as a woman to change. It's safe for all the ways that we nurture and nourish ourselves to change. And all the other meanings that come within this, it's safe for women to change. Linking this into the ears and the jaw again, linking in the capacity to hear different songs, different stories, different things, different words of wisdom, potentially even through the various different connections you have with women in your life. That it's safe to also open up, to take that in through the jaw, to receive it as a new way to connect to what it means to be female, to be in a female lineage, to connect to what it means to express that verbally, non-verbally, to find all the different interconnection points here as we link them. First, into the most yin feminine point in the entire system, conception vessel 17. And with that, I see the diamond meridian open up even more. And I actually see the diamond meridian open up into the same sort of shape that a female pelvis carries. So, male pelvises are more cylindrical and upright, females are more heart shaped, they're more splayed open as they need to be. To allow babes to pass through them. And as we support the opening up in this way for the diamond meridian in a form, basically like a splayed open heart-shaped pattern, welcoming in feminine fierce, feminine love and compassion. And as this diamond meridian drinks in fierce, feminine love, compassion, it's connecting into all things governing vessel meridian, the energy of loyalty, of healthy male loyalty energy. And as it draws on that, there's a new dance coming into union between masculine and feminine here. As we give this system time to drink it in, we're going to link it through to the spine to intertwine in all the ways that it does through all things yin and yang, all things masculine, feminine. Through the chakras that hang out here, through the meridians that are right next door here, and through the central channel of the spine itself, through the Sushumna. And as it weaves together a new dance of masculine and feminine, of loyalty, of support, linking in all things base to crown to contain it, and linking it into all things gallbladder meridian on the side body to contain it from this angle as well. Invitation to breathe this in as we tap this part out. And then we're heading into that jaw. We're releasing the energy of, like, how dare you? It's actually on both sides. I know I'm pointing to the one side. And it's releasing this energy of, like, how dare you? And it's got within it the energy of even the non-verbal expression as much as the verbal alike of how dare you? And using, in a way, anger to support healthy boundaries. And times in which you felt you had to actually not do that, times in which you were told to maybe suppress that, and you may have even, had that look from your own mom, your own whoever the mother figure may have been in your life, to watch what you say there. You better hang on to those words. I wouldn't say that if I were you. And within the bringing up potentially a layer of even like sullenness or the desire to be defiant that didn't get a chance to be expressed or moved through. So we're simultaneously allowing any sort of sullen defiance to also no longer be contained just in this one point of the jaw, but to also go spread open and go global in its own way. As we support the system in melting away that sullen defiance, bringing in the energy of the sun into the jaw to support that melting, as well as Venus, for her again, her role in not just harmony, but also in balance. As we bring in this energy, simultaneously linking the fourth house to the sixth house, linking in the ways that we protect ourselves in house number four to house number six, being practical. And as they connect, in the very center of them being house five, house of creativity. So getting to do this in a way that's not just creative, but also invites in pleasure and play, supports all of our little inner kiddo energy in all the ways that we have it. And running the permissions here that now it's actually safe to come out and play. It's safe to come out and play now. And as we support the body in opening up to safety and play, without having to worry about getting your head bitten off or being told you have to suppress that too, and being shushed or told not to be you in all the ways that you may have been told to in the face of you just wanting to share play. Running hydration to all those areas of hurts. I see them primarily through the lungs, the heart, the jaw, and the ears. Yeah, there may be other areas which are being held on to. So any areas that are holding on to are getting to receive that water, but in primarily again, lungs, heart, jaw, and ears. Yeah, it's safe to come out and play now. And with that, I just see old bondage energy being released from the sides of the heart, from the sides of the lungs, from the sides of the ears and the jaw, all melting away. And letting these areas know you are totally free. You are totally free now. Invitation to breathe into all those areas, allowing for them to experience what it's like to receive totally free. And we're tapping this out here. Invitation to again breathe and receive however feels right. Giving that another round, a breath or two, and letting that settle in. If it feels right, you can come back to that resource that we found earlier. I have a song by Katie Samwell. It's from the album Medicine Songs. This one's a little longer. It's a 7-minute song, and it's called Divine Mother, which feels right given all the work with the feminine that we've done today. So I invite you to breathe and receive, drinking in potentially that resource that we found earlier, or staying right where you are if this feels like it's a good place for you to land.
She will show you.
Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for all of you. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And my deepest of love to you all as we start off this new year, 2023, and receiving all of the yumminess that's to come our ways. Mwah. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey and blessings on this new year. And as we settle on into the ending of this all, I have a very long poem that I wanted to share today, and we're kind of over time today, so I'm actually going to bring it for next week because I don't want to take up any more time, and I appreciate you all hanging in there with me as we've gone a little overboard, but no, I'm going to be earmarking that one or bookmarking that one and sharing that with you all. Maybe I'll earmark it too. Okay. All right, my loves. I look forward to hearing how you get on, and I look forward to sharing with you next week. Bye for now, loves. Mm-hmm.